are continuing this morning in our series based on Leviticus chapter 23. As we consider the feasts that God has appointed for the people of God, the Old Testament people of God. And our text for this morning is Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 32. If you have your Bibles, please feel free to turn with me. And I'd like to invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now on the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord, and you shall not do any work on that day. For it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted on that day shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. On the 9th day of the month, beginning at evening, from evening to evening, shall you keep your Sabbath." Lord Jesus, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for the word that speaks of atonement and our invitation to such a feast. Pray, Lord, that we might feast on your word and on the Lord Jesus Christ as we see him, his life, which is given for us, in order that our sins might be atoned and life might be enjoyed. Bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Who could have imagined that we might be chilly in the month of August as we gather together? I like the entire blanket you got there, Steve. You're a Boy Scout. Always prepared. Good for you. You've heard me share in the past, and I don't mind telling you again, that I was somebody... Oops, do I need to move back?
That works.
All right. Thank you. I was somebody who loved college. I loved it. I loved being a student at college. All of what seemed at that time the best things that could happen to a person happened to me when I was at college. I made lifelong friendships when I went away to college. I met my wife at college. I was given the privilege of being able to study the Bible. I spent day and night reading the Bible. The first time that I ever read the Bible from cover to cover was in the season that I spent in college. Not only did I get for myself my own copy, brand new copy of the NIV Study Bible, and read it daily, devotionally and for class, I also read every study note that was found in the margin. I read the entire thing. I couldn't believe that I had such a privilege and an opportunity to read and to study the Bible. I loved it. I loved the relationship that I built with my mentor at the time, Dr. Byron Bittar, and the investment that he was making in my life. I loved this experience that I had when I was living in relationship and in community with my brothers in Christ, and I would go in to the apartment in the middle of winter, and miraculously, the apartment was warm. I'd go and I'd turn on the spigot, and water would just come out. It was amazing. I'd go to this place called Alex's, and I'd show up, and I'd show them this identification that the school was kind enough to give me, and they'd let me in, and food would appear. Alex's dining hall. I loved college. I loved just about every aspect of it. But there was a significant problem that was developing that I wasn't aware of. It was growing just beneath the surface, below the horizon of my attention, of my conscience. And all of that came rushing in on one important reconciling day. You see, the problem with college is that it insulated me just a little bit too much from reality. And reality came rushing in the day that I was given my appointment to meet with the financial officers in the finance department of the school. I was given a time, and I was given an appointment, and I went in, and they brought out a mountain of paperwork, and they said, "This is what you owe for your days of college." And I had a bit of a rude awakening. You see, I came to realize that somebody had to pay for all this freedom. Somebody had to pay for all this food that I was eating. Somebody had to pay for the heat and the water. And at some level, I knew that I would be paying for it, but all of a sudden, it came rushing in a way that I hadn't anticipated. As I was looking at the bill, I had to be reconciled to my bill, and that was a hard lesson to learn. I remember there was another young man who was graduating at the time. We knew of each other. But we didn't run in the same circles because I was in the Bible department. I believe he was in engineering or business. I'm not exactly sure. But our appointment was at the same time. And he was talking about how he had already secured his job for graduation. He was going to be making something like $60,000, $70,000 a year. Paying off the bill was not going to be much of a deal. In fact, he already went out and bought a Mitsubishi Spyder sports car. And he was driving it around the school, and I'm looking at this mountain of debt and thinking, boy, I have a liberal arts degree, and this degree has prepared me to go on to graduate school where I'm going to accumulate more debt. And I've been working, and I'm happy to report to you that in 16 more months, I'll be able to finally have that debt paid off, because it was not only my debt, but then I married my beloved, and she gave me a pile of paperwork as well. And my father-in-law said, "God bless you." Reality came rushing in. 16 more months, Holly. 16 more months. Just in time for our eldest to go to college. Started all over again. That day in the finance office at Geneva College was a day of reckoning. It was a day of affliction as reality came rushing through the door. The Feast of Atonement is a day of affliction. No less than three times do we read and see the word in the text for this morning, the word affliction. You shall afflict yourselves. You will be afflicted. Be sure to afflict yourselves. It is a word that is repeated, as well as the word atonement. And this idea of atonement and affliction are linked together. Three times the word affliction is used to get our attention. Now, this is not self-affliction, whereby we are being called upon by God to inflict ourselves like some did during the period of the Reformation, when Martin Luther went to Rome and bought an indulgence and prayed on the steps of the cathedral one at a time until his feet and his knees were aching with pain. Those within the broader Christian tradition throughout the years who would inflict themselves by whipping or beating themselves, wearing shirts made out of hair. That's not the kind of affliction that God has in mind. It's not personal harm. It's a word that suggests something far richer, far more profound. The word in Hebrew is anah. Anah. It has a profound depth of meaning. It's kind of like the situation that we have in our with our English word love. Love is a profound and deep word, and it is broad and has a great deal of meaning, so much so that C.S. Lewis took advantage of what was an opportunity to inform we as Christians the depth and the breadth of love. He took the four words that are used for love in Greek in order to help broaden and explain to us what it means to love. Anah is a little bit like that. It is translated in English as affliction, but the essence of the word means something far more richer, deeper. We need to plumb the depths of it in order to understand the Day of Atonement. Anah is translated in our text for this morning as affliction, but the essence of the word means response. Response. So how do these two ideas work together? Well, the Feast of Atonement is a day set aside for purposeful time. God is setting aside the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Atonement, with a purpose. And we are called to afflict ourselves by carving out time for that specific purpose. The affliction begins because God is calling us to meet with Him, the Feast of Atonement, and we are going to have to put aside certain things, carve out that time, say no to certain things, in order that we might begin to say yes to other things. Feast of Atonement is a day of affliction. It's a day of purposeful time. It's a day for us to respond to the things that God wants to bring to our attention. God is carving out time for His people in order that we might consider our life and our way of life with respect to God, with respect to God's will, with respect to God's plans and purposes for our life and for the entire created order. It is a day of affliction whereby we come into the presence of God. We consider our way of life, and we are called to respond to God, to give an account for our lives. It's a day of consideration and response. But how do we respond? What are the best practices of response as we come into this day that is carved out, this day of affliction where God calls things to account and asks us to respond? What is the appropriate response on the part of God's people? And here we plumb into the depths. We look at the many words that help to fill out the meaning of Anah. To Anah, to respond, to be afflicted, means to humble oneself. The act of humility itself is a form of affliction, whereby we recognize in our own lives, in our own hearts, that we're not quite as good, we're not quite as strong, we're not quite as high as we might think we are. We come into the presence of Almighty God, and we do so humbly. 10 days after the trumpet, after the shofarim is sounded, calling our attention back to our slavery, calling our attention back to the great Passover deliverance that God has wrought for us with a mighty hand, out of grace, out of His steadfast love for us, we are called back to consider and to humble ourselves and to remember that I was a slave, that I was bound by sin, bound by chains, and there was nothing that I could do to get myself out of that situation, save that God came and found me, delivered me, to humble myself in response to God's mighty deliverance, to humble myself in response to the glorious freedom that he has given to me, to you, and to his people, to be used purposefully, mindfully, with his intentions. Humble ourselves in response to the supply that God has provided. Remember the parallel and the analog between the first three feasts and the second three feasts. The feast of Passover that corresponds with the feast of trumpets. The feast of first fruits that corresponds with atonement. Remember that God prepared the land for God's people to enter into the land, and he already provided the seeds. Here at the Day of Atonement, God has already provided something for us. A means for forgiveness. A means for atonement by which we can be forgiven. Humble ourselves in response to the sacrifice that is made for us. Something has to die in order for us to be atoned. We deserve to die because of our sin. But in God's mercy, in God's grace, he allows for a substitute. And the scapegoat, the bull, the ram, the lambs, they die in our place. And we come humbly before God in response and say, oh my God, thank you. Means to humble ourselves in response to the mercy that is offered to set us free. Hana means to respond, to be afflicted. It means to fast. Traditionally, among the Hebrew people, the Day of Atonement became a day of great fasting, whereby all day you set aside the day and you didn't perform any work, which meant including getting ready for your dinner. You set these things aside. You set aside one's own appetites, one's own desires, one's own interests, in order that we might have the space and the time and the place to consider and to reflect on what God is calling us to do. To respond means to fast. And to confess to even myself, I'm not in charge. Stomach, you're not in charge. Will, desire, heart, you're not in charge. And it's an affliction. Our will isn't always like that. We begin to feel it. We begin to feel the pinch and the pain of it. God calls us to respond. He calls us to ana, which means to reflect. To reflect on who God is, to respond in light of how God is revealing himself to us, and to respond in light of how we understand ourselves. Who am I? God carves out space. God carves out time. He carves out an opportunity for us to come into his presence and to ask the question, who am I? And to consider closely and deeply the answer to that question. You might find, as I have from time to time, that I don't like the answer. It's an affliction. To ana, to respond, to be afflicted, means to call on God. To come to him on that day of atonement that he is carving out, to see again who he is, and to look at my own life with respect to God, and to call out to him and say, God, I now see it. I see the disparity. I see who you are. I remember who you are. I confess who you are. And I see it with respect to my own life. And Lord, it is not good. What I see is not good. I need a Savior. I need atonement. Would you come to me? Would you save me? Would you reorder my life to confess our life before God so that he might come and meet our needs? So that he might come and forgive our sin. So that he might come, form us into his people. To ana is to respond, to be afflicted as we testify, as we recount our story in the light of God's story, and as we give testimony to his faithfulness and his intervention. It's not always easy to stand up and to speak and to share and to give voice to what God has been doing in your life. It is vulnerable. It is sometimes uncomfortable. God is calling us to testify and to bring correction to the discrepancies in the story, and to say to ourselves and to others, I was lost. I was broken. I was in great need. He came to me. He served me. He saved me. He loved me. To anah is to respond. It is to be afflicted as we show obedience to God. The Day of Atonement is an opportunity demonstrate obedience and to declare to ourselves and to God that his commandments are true, that my life is subject to him, that I am willing to bow the knee, to give myself to him, to seek to obey his commandments, even when they're not comfortable, even when they're not in accord with what I desire to do. To anah. To confess, to be afflicted, is to be there in the garden and to recognize the great wrath of God that's being poured out against all unrighteousness and sin, which resides even in my own heart. And to say to God the Father Almighty, not my will, but your will be done. It's an act of obedience to walk in his righteousness and to hold fast to the land that God is giving to his people, to hold fast to the promise that God is giving to his people, to hold fast to that which is good, to hold fast to a life that is filled with his glory and his purpose and his meaning. To anah, to receive. Humbly receive what God is offering. Atonement. From time to time, I have the opportunity to speak to our staff. And there's a learning opportunity that creeps in every once in a while, whereby the staff will have the opportunity to serve in particular and unusual ways. And it's sometimes accompanied by an honorarium, a gift of appreciation that is shown to me or to the staff. And sometimes conversations come up about, should that be accepted? I always say, take it. You got student loans to pay off. Take it. Take it, because it's not natural. It goes against our nature to receive those kinds of gifts. To receive something gracious, gracious, it requires a denial of oneself and to recognize that this is coming from somewhere other than the work of my own two hands. It's coming from a place of grace and mercy, and I need that, and to take it is to confess it. To have it incorporated into one's life. To anah is to be afflicted with the reality. Grace is not something I always welcome, but it's something that I desperately need. To anah is to have one's sin atoned for. Gracious substitute that is given to us by Almighty God. A gracious substitute that makes us at one with God the Father Almighty. The Feast of Atonement is a day of affliction. It is a day of response. It is a day where you and I have the opportunity to respond. But it is a day that is first and foremost an opportunity for God to respond to us, for God to meet with us, for God to speak with us, to carve out time. God says, I want to meet with you. I desire to speak with you. I desire to do something in your life. And the first thing that I want to do is to reassert the divine priorities. For I am God. he says. And you are not. This is the arrangement that was established from the very beginning. I'm calling you into my presence to reassert that. And it might not be comfortable to hear. It might not be pleasant to hear. It might feel like affliction, but it is in your best interest that you know it. I am God. And I'm here to reassert the seriousness of sin, the pervasiveness of sin. It's like leaven. And it works its way in, and it gets into every aspect of your lives, into my life, the life of the world. And it must be dealt with. God calls us, reasserts his great love and his mercy and his desire to deal with that sin. So God calls us in order that he might respond to our sin in blood. The Day of Atonement is a day of affliction, because the Day of Atonement is a day of blood. So much blood. Blood of bulls. Blood of goats. Blood that must be sacrificed and spilled for the priest. The blood that must be spilled and sacrificed for the people. The blood that must be sprinkled broadly. The blood that must go everywhere. The Day of Atonement is a day of affliction because it is a day of blood. So much blood. Must come. Cannot be avoided. Blood must be spilled. It's part of the rhythm. It's part of the regular warp and woof that God has built into the feast and built into the life of God's people. The day of blood must come. The day of affliction must come. The day of accounting must come. Cannot be avoided. Day of response to our need, but also to God's supply. On this day, accounts must be settled. Debts must be paid. A response must be given. Atonement is made. What if the debt is too big? What if the debt is too large for us to simply work off, like I've been trying to work off for the last 20 years as I came out of Geneva College? What if it's too big? What if the brokenness is too large, systemic, and the rock comes right to the very center of things? What if the need is too large? What if the enemy is too fierce? What are we going to do? Will we despair? Will we have hope? Hope in the one who came. Hope in the one who serves us on that day of atonement. Hope in the one who is the perfect Lamb of God, who serves as the Azazel, the scapegoat. The one who takes on the sin of the entire community. The one who takes on the sin of my life and dies. Jesus was afflicted. On that great day of affliction, on that great day of atonement, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteem him smitten by God on that day of affliction. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought me peace. By his wounds, by his blood, I am healed. We need the blood that will atone. It is the only response that will fully satisfy on that day of affliction. It is a day that commands, it demands a response. And that day is here. Today. Today is the day of affliction. You might be thinking, all of 2020 has been a day of affliction. Today is the day of affliction. The virus pales in comparison with the affliction of sin. You see, sin demands a response. It cries out for a remedy. There's always the temptation to believe or to consider that sin is somehow out there. It's external to me. It's not really here. But it is. There is a place. There is a place that resides in each one of our hearts. It is terribly afflicted by sin. And it must be called into account. On that day of blood, on that day of affliction, sin is a disease that courses through our veins. There's no vaccine that can touch it. We need blood. And Jesus gives his blood for us. The rhythm of life for God's people is to regularly come under the blood. God's people, they were delivered out of Egypt under the blood. God's people entered into the promised land under the blood. They lived in the covenant of God. They lived and kept the land only to the extent that they came under the blood. They faced the day of affliction, recognized their need in order that their sins might be atoned for. We come under the blood. As we come to the Lord's table this morning. And as we come, three things happen. Three things can happen. Three things must happen. The first is this. We confess our need. We search our hearts. And we afflict ourselves and say, Lord, I don't want to face it. I don't want to look at it, but you are calling me to it. You are requiring me to address it. And here, Lord, as painful as it is, I am sharing with you my great need. I do not possess life in my own hand. I am not the master of my destiny. I do not call the shots. I am in need of a Savior. We must come and come to the blood and confess our need, and we must reject all other remedies, all other gods before me. We must come to the table and cut off everything else that we might think that can save. And then finally, we must receive the one thing that can cleanse and heal. The one thing that can put us back into living. The one thing that can save. One thing that can make sense of our world. If we are not willing to do that, as we come to the table, as we come under the blood, the blood has no meaning for me. And so as we gather together this morning, we have an opportunity to come under the blood. Come to the table to receive the body that was broken, to receive the blood that was outpoured, to be afflicted and confronted by the meaning and the significance and the purpose of what stands before us, to have it address our lives, and to have the blood of this table conform our lives to its purpose, to its high calling, to its glory. And so friends, I remind you that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And in like manner, he also took the cup. Pouring it out, he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Which is poured out for you in order that your sins might be atoned for. I am going to be afflicted in order that you might be saved. As often as we eat this bread and we drink this blood, we declare the Lord's death. We declare Christ's atonement for me. We come to the table and we come under the blood. So I want to invite you to come. Come under the blood. To confess. To cut off all other remedies. And to graciously receive the life that Christ is offering to you. We're going to do so in a particular way in these days of COVID and as we're outdoors. Andy Lucas and Matt Parrish are elders here. They're going to help moderate some of the traffic as you make your way to the cones and down to the table. They'll be dismissing you by family so that we don't have any congestion as we make our way in. I'm going to ask that you come to the table, and out of an abundance of caution, we'll ask that you keep your mask on as you receive the elements. If you don't have a mask, there are a box of masks there on the music stand. You can take one. Please be sure to take one cup that contains the bread, one cup that contains the juice, and make your way to your seat and patiently wait. And when we are all done going through the line, we will eat together. As our elders stand, I'll invite you to bow your heads and your hearts with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who calls us to attention. You call us to a day of affliction. You call us to give account of our debts. The debts that must be paid. And seeing the depth of those debts, how profound they are, we see that we cannot pay it. The debt of sin is in my life, and there's nothing that I can do to pay it. I'm afflicted by that. We're all afflicted. But out of your rich mercy and grace, you come to us and say, in and through your Son, I have paid it all. Jesus paid it all. He poured out his blood so that we might come under the blood. He poured out his blood in order that our debts might be paid. He poured out our blood in order that our lives might be ransomed. And now our lives belong to him, gloriously, wonderfully, powerfully, eternally his. New life. And an atonement. And so, Lord, I pray that as we come to the table and as we come under the blood, that we might experience a life transformation by grace. We would leave here as new people. You minister your grace to us. We ask in Jesus' name.